Morning, I want to talk about the hope of our salvation. The hope of our salvation. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. The Word of God says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to give thanks to you for who you are in our life and what you have done in our life. You are merciful God. You are full of compassion. At the same time, you are holy and just. Lord, even this morning as we look into your word, I pray that you will come and minister to us, Lord. You know our needs and what we are struggling, what we are facing. Holy Spirit, come and take your place in our midst and be glorified. Use me as I speak your word, Lord. Encourage your people. May your name be exalted. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as we talk about the hope of salvation, I pray that at the end we may be encouraged. At the same time, we may praise God for His great mercy that caused us to be born again and for giving us a living hope. By the way, let me ask you, have you ever been to a hopeless situation? Or this morning, do you really have hope in your life? Do you have hope in your life? And what is your hope? What do you want to do with your hope? And how do you know that you have hope in your life? I know many people will say that I have hope. But some might have hope in the wrong things. Or some might have a wrong hope. Or false hope. Or a dead hope. This passage is telling us that we can have a hope. Not only a hope, but what? A living hope. A hope that stirs us to action. A hope that purifies. That's why it is called living hope. And at the same time, this is living hope because our hope, what? Is found in God. Himself. Not in anything else, not in man, but in God. That's why we have living hope. I came to Delhi with a great expectation, a hope, or, you know, aim of life. That means to become a good government officer so that I can have a good life, you know, good income, good family. That's my hope, my expectation of my career. And that's, now as I reflect back, that's my hope before I got saved. And now, As I become the children of God, my hope is different. The hope that I have is just worldly things. And at the same time, it's false hope. It's not a living hope that God is providing this morning. In India, suicide is very, very common. Because a lot of parents spend their money for their kids to have a good education. And when the kids fail their exams, that's it. A lot of, especially Hindu people, since they don't have hope, they suicide, even because of their failure in their examination. It's pretty sad. Not only exams, even in different situations that we face, that we are facing. And Bible has a lot to say about our hope. Throughout the Old Testament, when we read, the hope is found in God Himself. In Psalm 71:5 says, "You are, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." And even in the New Testament, it is just command. I mean, very common. Christ is our hope when we read in 1 Timothy 1:1. And even in very common passage, 1 John 2:3 says, right, our hope that when Christ comes, when Christ returns, what? We will see Him as He is, for we will see Him, what? Face to face. And those who has this hope purifies himself. So it is not the fact of life that determines our hope, but the faith of life. So a Christian or a believer has a hope, a real hope, because his faith and hope are in God, as we see in verse 3. This living hope is the major theme of this letter. By the way, Peter is writing to a Christian who, what? Were facing persecution, ill treatment because of their faith, right? They were being tortured, being killed, murdered. So all these kinds of opposition, rejection, scorn, contempt, even murdered them. They face such a huge, tribulation that we can't imagine sometimes. And he right away, write this. And yet Peter didn't start, with their problems. Oh, your problem is this and this. Now you need to do this. No, he starts right with what? God. And who they are in Christ. So this morning, I don't know what circumstances you are. I mean, what kind of problems you are facing. But this morning, God is comforting us, ensuring us that we have a hope. We have a hope because our hope is in God. Spurgeon says, "Could a man live without hope? Man may manage to survive the worst condition of distress when they are encouraged by a hope. But it's not suicide, that natural result of the death of hope. Yes, we must have a hope, and the Christian is not left without one. He has a lively hope, that is to say, first, he has a hope within him, real, true, and operative. Some men's hopes of heaven are not living hopes." Wow. "For they never stir them to action. They live as if they were going to hell. And yet they coolly talk about hoping that all will be well with them at last. A Christian's hope purifies him, excites him to diligence, makes him seek after that which he expects to obtain. Is this your hope that excites you, that puts you to action, that strives you, you know, to serve God, to serve other people? You say you have a hope, and then you are never excited about your hope, that you never tell even to other people. So is that your hope, or is that the living hope? I get anxious sometimes. You know, as I say a little bit about ministry. Because, humanly speaking, I don't have the things that I need for ministry. No houses, no car, no insurance, nothing. I'm going to start with a fresh life. And at the same time, we don't know, right, what will happen tomorrow. And yet, what? We have a hope. Amen. We have a hope. Because our God is a living God. Hope, the hope that we have, does not disappoint us. Because we have a faithful God, and He is faithful to His promises. So with that hope and trust, we can rest on Him. Let me tell you, the world is telling us opposite to that. The best life that you can have is right now. But that's not true. This is not the best life, right? We are facing all these trials, hardships and troubles. What makes you to think that this is the best life? Our hope is still future, and yet it is guaranteed, it is certain. And we will see that. Wow, time is running. That's just a part of introduction, you know? Since that's the danger of going to seminary, you know? You learn all this theology, but you are also learning how to manage your time, you know? So this epistle is very alive and speaking to us and applicable to us as Christians. So we see even today Christians are being what? Tortured, persecuted, or killed. And yet, because of this hope, they continue to strive on. So the first point that I would like to see is the source of hope. That is God's mercy. We see that in verse 3, right? According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So the means to this living hope is what? Born again. And that's very clear. If you are not in Christ, you don't have this hope that we're talking about. Because only those who are in Christ, that means those who have been born again, can only have living hope. That's why Peter is reminding them who they are and what they have. That means living hope. In spite of all of these tribulations, trials, hardships that they are facing. It's encouraging. And we all know that, right? In Romans 3. No one is righteous. Not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when we read in Ephesians 2, what? We were dead in our sins and trespasses. Continue reading. We were what? Children of the wrath of God. We deserve eternal punishment, condemnation. And yet, God, what? Not, Peter says, not only in His mercy, He says, great mercy. Amen. Because His mercy is great, He can cause us, what? To be born again. To be a new creation. To be born of God.
So that what? We can have living hope. So we know that since God so loved us, He sent His only begotten Son so that He can die for you and me. Because of our sin, we deserve hell. We deserve eternal condemnation. And yet, Christ voluntarily came and bore the punishment that we deserve. And the wrath of God that we deserve, what? Was satisfied when Christ was crucified on the cross, bearing our shame and our sorrows. Nobody can do this for you and me. And nobody can forgive your sins. Only God can forgive. So when we read the Bible carefully, Christ is God. He's not just a mere human being. He is God. That's why He cannot be held by the grave, but He overcomes the grave and the power of sin. And He crushed the head of the Satan on the cross. That's why we have victory in Christ, because we have placed our faith and our hope in Him. So let me ask you, have your sins been forgiven? Have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you been born again? If not, you don't have this living hope. Living hope begins and ends in God. That's why you don't have to depend to anybody. Not wealth or treasure or anything that you can have in this world, but God in heaven. That's why your hope is certain. Your hope is guaranteed. What did Peter say? Because what? Christ has been raised from the dead. That's the guarantee. That it is sure. That our hope is sure. It is certain. So the Christian has a new hope, a living hope, because Christ has been raised from the dead. This hope, or the eternal life, is further described as inheritance, which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Right? He continues to what describes that. And the next point that we see is the nature of our hope. What is the nature of our hope? Since it is grounded and it is rooted in God, what? Our hope is what? The inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Kept in heaven. That means reserved for you and me. Those who are in Christ, those who have been born again, they have a living hope that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Kept in heaven for you. That's your hope. That's my hope. And that what? Drives us to tell who is Christ to other people. So no doubt, the purpose of Peter's writing is to encourage the Christians who are facing this old kinds of hardships, and to testify to God's grace. He encourages suffering Christians to anticipate and accept the difficulties which they encounter because of their faith in Christ. So he exhorts them to stand firm. He tells them that they share in Christ's suffering and participate in His glory. This suffering, this hardship that we are facing and enduring is for temporary. And this is what? To the glory of God. Wow, what a hope. This is so profound to Peter because he is an eyewitness apostle, right?
he witnessed his crucifixion. No doubt, the Jewish people lost their hope. Because, what? That Christ will redeem them. And yet, he was crucified. But when he was raised, their hope was restored. And Peter couldn't remain silent. That's why he, what? Exhorts these suffering Christians. This world is not our citizen. Our citizen is in heaven. Born again is necessary because what? No one can inherit eternal life except those who are children in the heavenly family. And that's kind of the illustration, right? If you are not related or born in the family, definitely you cannot inherit the property. So, in order to inherit the inheritance that God has for us in heaven, you must be first, what? A children of God. A family of God. Only can you can what? Only then you can inherit. Or the inheritance that God has. So it is crucial. If you are not born again, you don't have this inheritance. So it is the gospel alone that gives the well-grounded hope of eternal life. And the ground on which this hope rests is the resurrection of Christ himself. The certainty of our Lord's resurrection is the great seal of the gospel. So it is imperishable, that means not liable to death, not subject to destruction. It is undefiled, he mentions, right? Means it describes things that are unstained or unpolluted. All earthly inheritance is defiled or temporary, but not the undefiled inheritance believers have in Christ Jesus. It means it is an eternal inheritance that cannot be lost. It is imperishable. And it is flawless and perfect. It is not fading. It cannot wither. That means believers have inheritance that will never lose. None of the decaying elements, thieves, or evils of sin can affect our inheritance because it is kept in heaven. By the way, heaven, I want to go to heaven because what? God dwells in heaven. We don't want to be in heaven where there is no God. I want to be heaven, in heaven because God lives in heaven. So earthly possessions are subject to constant variation and change, but our eternal inheritance is safely guarded by God in heaven. So let me skip the last point briefly. I said what the first point is, the source of our hope. The second point is the current of our hope. And the third point is the certainty of our hope. Right? He says the word gap. The gap in heaven for you. Gap or reserve is a military word that means guarded, shielded. You know, when there is war, you know, there's a lot of securities that guards the country or the battlefield. That's the idea. So the tense reveals that we are constantly being kept and guarded by God, assuring us that we shall safely arrive in heaven. I believe today you are here, not by chance. And you have been able to go through your trials, your sufferings, and all this hardship because, why? God keeps you. This is, God is constantly keeping us because we are His children. He kept us, right? Otherwise, the inheritance He has promised, if He fails in the midst, in the process of this life. He's not God of what? The promise. He's not faithful God. But He is living and faithful God because we, even in our daily life, what? We can testify that He is keeping us. He is guarding us. That's why He is able to sustain us and strengthen us. And until that day comes, He will keep us. So that's why our hope is certain. Our hope is what? Guaranteed. It is God who protects them. They receive His protection through faith that is true, committing themselves in trust and obedience to God. So the call of this protection is that what? The salvation prepared to be revealed in the last time. That means when Christ returns, our hope or our salvation, this eternal salvation that God has given to us will be what? Completed. In the Bible, the last days is also used in different terms like death time or the last day or the last days or day of judgment. It is the period of closing of this age seen as inaugurated in the life of Jesus and continuing in the church. So we see that when we read in Acts 2:17, Hebrews 1:2. So the focus of this verse is on the final scene of the age when Christ will return to judge the godless and resurrect and reward those who believe. So Peter is talking about future aspect of salvation. It is also connected to the end of human history. That means God will make believers inheritance. That means eternal life or salvation fully complete when He creates new heaven and new earth in Revelation 21. So our hope is what? Certain and guaranteed because it is kept in heaven. And heaven is the most secure place in all the universe. Wow. That's amazing. That's why we have a living hope. And nothing can affect that. And God is what? Guarding that hope. So all the details of this hope are to provide believers with an undying, living hope of heaven so as to provide joy and endurance. That's it. So when we have this living hope, in spite of all this hardship that we're facing, we can endure and have joy. And we can still trust God, right? Is that your hope? Is that a real hope that you have in your life? Thus, Christians are born for glory, and they are kept for what? Future glory. So I want to encourage, we have a bright future that God has for us. Let us continue to strive to spread His glory as we live for Him, commit our life to tell other people about the gospel, even the hope that we have in God. I pray that the Lord will bless you all and even bless this church as we strive to exalt the name of Christ and spread His glory. Amen.